I cannot wait to go into my kitchen and make myself an...
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Good morrow. This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your clog battling plumber watching. They're ripping the kitchen wall out of my kitchen today because if you haven't guessed, my kitchen sink has a huge clog in it that not even the plumber's big snake with suction could access. And so they're going to be tearing out my backsplash today, friend.
No, I love your backsplash.
I think they're going to put it back on.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Kathleen Heaney, your glitter sneaker wearing, Costco membership owning. Yay. I can't stop watching The Boys on Amazon Prime, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
I am talking about the absolute most insane things that people do in the name of wellness.
Oh, Kathleen, you know how I feel about the wellness industry.
I know. You and I basically will drink snake oil. Like, if anything is like, I'll make you more beautiful, you and I are like, yeah, let's do it.
I'll drink this pure coconut oil that'll swish around in my mouth. Won't actually do anything, but boy, I'll try it.
Yep, sure thing. What's on your plate this week, Bethany?
I am talking about harmless conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Specifically the ones that I believe.
Yes.
They're not hurting anyone. They're not causing any sort of riots.
Yeah.
They haven't been co-opted by any people that are giant bummers. These are the ones that are still fun to believe.
Oh.
This happened because we were driving over the weekend, Dennis and I.
Yeah.
And the Waze app
wanted
me to go all the way around the block just to go forward in the direction I was already going.
Wait, that's so weird. Why?
Question.
Yeah.
And we could see directly in front of me. There wasn't any snarled traffic. It was working me around.
Huh.
It was faster for us to go straight, but it wanted us to go around some corners. And I was like, I have a conspiracy theory.
Oh.
So we're going to talk about that.
You know, I think about the paths that smart apps use, because, you know, they have technology and they can see where there's traffic jam ups and stuff like that. I often think about, do you think that certain politicians pay off Google, you know, Google Maps to be like, don't send anybody down my street?
Interesting.
Right?
Well, that's close to what I think. It's not it exactly, but it also made me wonder, like, do they pay off Google to send them past some of my supporters' houses so they see my signs?
I
don't know if that's true or not, but I do have some theories pertaining to companies paying off other companies.
I am forever fighting with my mother when we're driving because she's like, no, I know the better way. And I'm like, Ma, you don't have a computer in your brain.
Yeah.
You don't have a plane or a helicopter over the tri-state area.
Yep.
You don't know where traffic is, but Google does because it's smarter than you. Please stop telling me the better way to go. I will go the way Google tells me to go.
Have you ever gone the way she tells you to go and she's right?
No, never, never. And my best friend, this happened to her brother. Her brother was driving from New Jersey, driving her father into the city to go to a doctor's appointment. And the dad was like, nah, take this way. It's way better.
Yeah.
They were stuck in 4 hours of traffic.
Oh, no.
And her brother was like, Dad, I told you, Google knows better than you do.
It sucks. And I think, since we're just talking about it now.
Yeah.
I also think that now that we trust apps to tell us, you know, the faster way to go, and it's like, well, if it's a weird way, we just assume it's because of traffic or they're rerouting us against something.
Yeah.
I think now they know that. And so they'll reroute us for different reasons that are maybe more nefarious.
Oh.
Knowing that we're like, well, I don't know. I trust them. They probably know something I don't. When maybe they do, but it's a different thing.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. I am here for this theory.
I love conspiracy theories as long as they don't hurt anyone. Just like my favorite dramas and scandals that don't hurt anyone, specifically Ilaria Baldwin. Still my favorite scandal. No one got hurt.
How do you spell cucumber?
How you say cucumber?
Cucumber?
Kathleen, so can I tell you what happened with this clog?
Oh, yeah, please. Tell me about the clog. Bethany, we have discussed this. Stop taking poops in your sink.
Look.
Yeah.
I see a sink. It looks like a toilet. Well, that's disgusting. No, Dennis, take that out. No, that's awful.
It's not disgusting. You've had a burrito and you see a sink.
Stop it.
Things happen.
So I don't know about you, but clogs to me are a little bit like the flu in that they sneak up on you.
They do.
You don't really realize it's an issue until it's too late.
Yeah.
So my sink was clogged. And normally what I do is I take a wire coat hanger and I unwind it and I gently or not so gently wiggle it around down there. And 9 times out of 10, it works.
Yeah. Well,
This time, it didn't because I forgot that that pipe is the consistency of paper mache at this point.
Yeah.
So I did cause a huge hole.
Yeah. Your technique is recommended by 0 out of all of the plumbers in the world.
Yes. Now, in my defense, I also tried first using one of those plastic tooth things that are like long teethy things and you shove those down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to get my landlords involved. What happened is they forgot to tell the plumber there was a clog. They just told the plumber there was a hole. And so the plumber came yesterday. He was due in the morning. He didn't come until 5:30 p.m.
Yeah.
He fixed the pipes after a lot of sawing.
Yeah.
But then when he tried to run water, he was like, they're clogged too? He was Russian. This is my Russian accent. I was like, did they not tell you there was a clog? He was like, no one said anything about clog.
Oh, in homeland, clog is first thing we tell each other about.
You have clog? No? Hey, you nice guy. Okay, this is offensive to our Russian listeners.
I am Russian. I'm okay. Like, okay. I can speak this way.
Then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm so sorry. So at this point, it was like 5:45. Like, he had fixed the pipe, toot sweet, but he didn't leave my house until almost 8 p.m.
Oh, God.
This man was building up a sweat. He was, like, breathing heavily. He was snaking. He was plunging. He was hitting. He took the bigger snake. He was suctioning. He was dry vacking, wet vacking, every vacking.
Yeah.
And finally, he was like, there's no help for these. I need another man. I cannot do it. I can try again if you want, but it's not going to work. And I was like, I am so sorry. I said, can I get you some water? He was like, no, I'm fine. And so he was, poor man, had to go downstairs and talk to my very stoic landlord, who I could tell this giant Russian man was afraid of.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though he's a kind man, he is very scary when you first meet him because you don't realize he smiles with his eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I have an onboarding call coming up.
Oh, okay.
So finally he went downstairs. I could hear him walk down the stairs with his big boots.
Yeah.
And then there was silence.
Clonk, 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 clonk.
And there was gentle murmuring. And then I heard him come back up in a huff and like angrily carry all of his stuff downstairs. So I don't think the talk went well, but he's coming back today between 2 and 3, which means he'll be here around 7:30 p.m. And he said he has to bring a friend and they have to rip out the entire wall because the clog is so far back in the 50-year-old pipes that he can't get to it. There's no way my coat hanger would have reached that thing.
Oh, Bethany, I don't think that they are going to be able to preserve your backsplash.
I think looking at this plumber,
I
could see he has an artistic eye. I think he's going to do everything he can to really preserve the artistic nature of this blue tiled backsplash.
I hope that they have to open up the wall under the sink and not the wall above.
Yeah.
You know, you have this really interesting backsplash that probably was put in, I want to say maybe like the late 80s.
Yeah.
Early 90s.
Totally.
And you know, for a while, because your backsplash is this sort of like burnt cerulean square ceramic tile.
Yeah, with like the blue color sort of like fades into lighter and darker based on like how baked that part of the tile was. It's very pretty.
Yeah, it's really, really pretty. And you know, square tiles for a long time, everyone was like, ugh, not a square tile.
Yeah.
It's all about the subway tile. But it's back again. And your backsplash is like a piece de resistance.
It's a testament to holding on to things because it always comes back.
Yeah. Make sure you take today like a really good, like pretty up your kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, stage a couple photos. Take a picture of that backsplash so you remember it forever.
I will. Mm-hmm. I will. Hopefully he won't be in my apartment by that point. but I am nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so much because of the backsplash, but because I'm concerned by what they're going to find. Because this has now gone from being a kind of expensive change
or,
fix to an immensely expensive fix for my landlord.
A big project.
And I'm concerned that they're going to find the clog and it's like going to be a fuzzy thing that says Bethany, right? So it's like clearly my fault.
It's going to be like a branded rabbit foot.
Yes, yes. Or like one of Minerva's fuzzy balls somehow got in there. I'm so nervous it's going to be literally very clearly my fault and not just like 50 years of buildup of grease and food.
Isn't it weird when you have somebody in your house doing work?
Yes.
I always feel so awkward. Like I offer them stuff.
Yes.
I don't ever offer them food because I don't ever want to be responsible for somebody's food allergy and
absolutely,
like dying on my watch.
Yeah.
But I do offer water, like an assortment of drinks. And it's even more awkward when it's a plumber.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they'll have to shut their water off.
Sure.
And if you only have one bathroom, that means whatever you do in the toilet, you have to leave it there.
You absolutely have to leave it there.
And whenever there's somebody working at my house, if I'm like sitting there watching TV or relaxing because I've worked, you know, every day up until this point, I feel so weird because I don't feel productive enough because they're doing all this work and I'm just sitting there.
What are you, a princess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, hey, can I help?
What, can I hold your light? I know. And they probably are like, leave me alone.
I know.
So my thing is when someone comes over, I'll also feel awkward. So my line is, can I get you anything to drink?
Yeah.
Water, coffee, vodka. And then they always chuckle and it breaks the ice. And no one has ever asked for vodka, which is great because I don't carry it.
Yeah.
But I was doing that last night. I was playing Best Fiends on my phone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's watermelon season, right?
It sure is.
I love breaking those watermelons.
Me too. But I kept my brow furrowed the whole time. So it looked like I was dealing with emails. That's what I did.
Last time we had a plumber in my apartment, I was having them switch out all the faucets to gold faucets because that's the type of basic bitch I am. And the plumber was Israeli, and he's like, I like these faucets. Nope, I'm doing
that
a very,
your very Israeli bad accent is amazing.
No, he was like, these faucets I like very much. And nope, that's okay.
That's
fine. He told me that he liked the faucets a whole lot.
And that's nice. He says a lot of faucets.
Yeah, I was like, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a designer.
Oh.
And he turns to me and says, that's nice.
He had one interaction he wanted from you, and that got expired, and he's no longer interested.
He gave no shits.
Yeah. Kathleen, I'll keep you abreast of how things go.
Yeah, let me know.
I did clean my apartment because my landlords are going to be in there with him if I'm not home.
Yeah.
And I did do one thing because, so you know, I have this giant freestanding chin-up bar in my bedroom.
Yes.
And I have aerial fabric hanging from it so I can, like, train.
Yeah, but it probably looks like a weird sex thing.
It looks like a weird sex thing.
Yeah.
And I'm insecure about that, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And so I set up a tableau. So next to the freestanding chin-up bar and the fabric, I have four weights and a bottle of rosin, hand rosin for grip, so that it is clear that this is a workout space and not a sex swing place.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And I hope that they notice
because
I will be damned if my landlords think I'm having sex because that's dirty and shameful.
No, it's not, Bethany.
Dirty and shameful.
Just last week, I was talking off mic with you and Dennis, and he mentioned sex. And I said, that is evidence that they do it.
Dirty and shameful.
When we're done recording today, I cannot wait to walk into my kitchen and make myself a gorgeous French omelet on my Caraway cookware frying pan.
Oh,
and it's in this gorgeous marigold color, Bethany. I cannot get enough of Caraway.
Kathleen, I didn't realize the person who created Caraway cookware got Teflon poisoning.
Yeah.
And that is why I am like, we need to be so careful really with what we put into our body across the board. Caraway Home's non-toxic kitchenware are all designed featuring a chemical-free ceramic coating. So your food slips right off of it, but you're not getting any of those hard-to-pronounce chemicals all leached into your food.
And did we mention they come in all of these beautiful colors, which is always...
They're gorgeous!
...the most important thing to me when I'm picking cookware. And all of the sets come equipped with easy access storage solutions, so there's no stacking required. Gone are the days of your misplaced lids.
It's true. So you can get a frying pan, a saute pan, a saucepan, and a Dutch oven. Plus, they have bakeware sets. I have their fry pan and their saute pan in this beautiful dark navy blue color.
Oh.
And I know they have their new iconic collection too, Kathleen, which is black and gold. I think they have white and gold too, which is beautiful. It's so pretty. You want to keep it out even when you're not using it.
So pretty and non-toxic. What more could you ask for?
Exactly. So visit Caraway.com stayhome.com/ATP to take advantage of our limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase.
This deal is exclusive for our Acquired Taste listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/ATP or use the code ATP at checkout.
That's carawayhome.com/ATP.
Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern. So I want to talk about the insane things that people do in the name of wellness.
Yes. And let's remind everyone, mm-hmm. the wellness industry is just the 90s diet industry repackaged.
Yes. Oh.
FYI.
How very astute of you.
Oh, it's not my original thought.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It is true.
It's everything that people want to say, but they just put wellness on it instead of diet.
It's a Snackwell's fat-free cookie in the form of a supplement.
I freaking love Snackwell's fat-free cookies.
Ew.
The wafer ones, the vanilla filling with the vanilla wafer.
Okay, yes. Those
are
good.
Great.
The ones that I'm ewing at are the Devil's Food.
Oh, those are awful.
So fake chemical tasting.
Devil's Food chalk.
While we're on the topic of like weird foods, before I get into wellness things, I bought sort of like off-brand Doritos at Costco this weekend because I saw the front of the package and it was like 9 grams of protein.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, I could use 9 grams of protein.
Yeah, of course.
They are keto Doritos.
Keto Doritos. Yeah, keto Doritos.
I don't know. The first ingredient is that weird sunflower oil that makes you shit your pants.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They're like Wow chips, but not as good.
Yeah. Neil and I have been okay. You know, we haven't shit our pants yet, but you know, there's still time. Okay.
As long as they're not those garbanzo bean based pasta chips.
The puffs, the chickpea puffs.
They make me die.
Oh, I love them.
Speaking of having to turn your toilet off.
Oh, I could eat them by the gallon.
Oh, so could I. You just won't see me for the next 36 hours.
Moving on. I keep derailing my own topic. Okay. Insane things people do in the name of wellness. Oil pulling. You used to oil pull, right?
I tried it. I didn't have the patience to swish coconut oil for what, like 5 minutes or 45 minutes?
It was a very long time. It was something like a minute.
I feel like it was longer than that.
Or maybe 3 minutes.
It was like too long.
I did it a lot. Let's say like 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
At the height of its popularity.
Yeah.
I did it for a long time and I could never make it for the full length. I would set like the timer on my phone.
No.
Yeah.
Because it's just a consistency thing. You're literally, if you don't know what it is, you're literally swishing coconut oil in your mouth.
I thought it would make me skinnier.
Everyone said it would whiten your teeth.
Yes, and people said that too. So basically oil pulling is an ancient practice that involves, like we said, swishing oil around in your mouth. People say that it'll remove bacteria, whiten your teeth.
It'll pull toxins out of your body, but they never specify what toxins are.
Yeah, it'll help your oral hygiene.
Sure.
It's not really clear how it works, and that's because there's not a whole lot of research done on this. Some people are also like, oh, it'll help with inflammation, yada, yada, yada. It's not good for you. Mm. This is a direct quote from nature.com vis-a-vis their bad science series. And they say, there's no evidence that oil pulling can prevent cavities, detoxify the body, strengthen the teeth, reduce cancer, reduce headaches, or any of the other things that they say it'll make you do.
And when things say they're going to prevent cancer, there are so many different kinds of cancer.
I know.
Cancer is like an umbrella term for a wide array of different issues within the body, different types of different areas, you know, so it's like, which cancer? All cancers?
All cancers.
Can you prove that?
Okay, well, if we're on the topic of things that you do early in the morning, the start of your day, let's talk about, and we used to talk about this at the very beginning, the birth of this podcast, when the podcast was a baby, we used to talk about drinking apple cider vinegar.
We had to stop.
Because you and I, we used to drink all that snake oil.
Of course.
We would, they say that when you drink apple cider vinegar, you know, a shot's worth in like 2 liters of water, you chug it in the morning, it sets your stomach for the rest of the day.
Sure. And it like, it speeds up your metabolism.
Oh.
But it got out of hand. And then we started having taste buds being like, I'm drinking a liter of apple cider vinegar every day.
No.
Or like, I'm putting it directly on my skin. And we were like, don't do that.
No.
We had to stop. There was like an actual directive that we had saying we will not talk about it anymore because people are taking it too far.
My low point was when I didn't know that you needed the kind of apple cider vinegar with the mother, the unfiltered kind.
Yeah.
And so I just had the straight up cheap ShopRite brand of apple cider vinegar.
Oh.
And I was doing a shot of it and chasing that with a glass of water instead of diluting it. And I was literally giving myself an ulcer.
Oh, it's awful.
One morning, my stomach hurt so bad. I started groaning and I was totally naked and in the kitchen. And Neil comes out of the bedroom and I'm there like just butt naked, bent over, moaning. And
sobbing over your bottle of apple cider vinegar you're still trying to drink.
And he starts yelling at me, I told you to stop drinking this stuff.
It's bad. It's bad. I had a producer who would do shots of it straight from the bottle. Like he carried it around and would just chug it and like, you know, that just burns everything.
Oh, okay. So WebMD does say that Japanese scientists found that drinking vinegar might help fight obesity. Another small study about vinegar said it helps with blood sugar and insulin levels in people with type 2 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Listen, I wouldn't do it anymore.
Look, it sounds like if you're truly doing, you know, a 1 ounce shot diluted in 16 ounces of water, it's probably not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
But I think people were taking it too far. Like people I knew who, almost everyone I knew who was doing this was drinking it straight.
Taking it way too far.
Yep. And that's where it's going to be a problem.
I remember a story when chia seeds, you know, when chia seeds first got popular. Everyone was like, put chia seeds in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they are very good for you. But I remember reading a story. There was a girl in the UK. And listen, I have no links to back this up.
Sure.
Maybe it's a rumor I heard. There was a girl in the UK who was trying to get healthy and she was eating so many chia seeds a day that they started lodging themselves in her small intestine.
Oh, no.
And she started growing little chia seed plants in her intestines.
Oh,
I know, it's gross.
Did you hear about the guy? I think we talked about the guy who grew a spruce tree in his stomach.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, people grow trees in places.
Yeah, really weird.
So weird.
Also, vinegar, people claim that it helps prevent cancer.
Which kind?
I know. It says apparently there's a chemical called polyphenols in vinegar that can kill cancer cells or something.
Which kind?
Yeah, I know which kind.
Which kind?
This one's a little bit more out there. I love CBD, but I have 0% faith in CBD leggings.
What are you talking about?
Bethany. There is a clothing company out there that puts CBD in their leggings.
How dare they?
That will give you relief in areas of your legs, like your glutes and your calves and your quadro whatevers.
Are you allowed to wash those leggings or will the CBD get leached out?
Bethany, I don't know.
This seems a little extreme.
Okay. The name of the company, and this company came out with this product in 2019, and it's still available. It's called Acabata, and they promote their CBD leggings, saying it's the world's first ever CBD-infused activewear collection, a non-psychoactive cannabinoid that have various medical properties, blah, 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 targeted by CBD sewn into the fabric, which leaves me with a lot of questions. 18 grams of CBD targeting the quads, the calves, the hamstrings, and the back. It's supposed to help with pain and reduce inflammation, blah, blah, blah.
I'm looking at a picture of the models wearing it.
Yeah.
I can tell they took this picture in Soho.
Yeah, yeah.
By the Housing Works bookstore coffee shop.
I think that the
Crosby, I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have a store in Soho. The leggings go for $180 a pair.
Do they say how long the CBD lasts? You have to probably wash them in like special CBD laundry soap.
Can you wash CBD leggings?
Press contact, LFB Media Group. Should I email them?
Yeah, ask them if we can wash them.
I'm going to email them right now.
Okay, here he goes, thecut.com. Can you wash your CBD leggings or does it suck some of the CBD out? Let's see.
There's a phone number for this press contact. Should I call them right now?
No, Bethany, no, because it's probably some poor intern.
I'll tell you who it is. It's a woman named Carly or a woman named Erin.
Okay. Can you wash them, Bethany? We may never know.
Oh.
The Cut did a write-up on it and they literally said, can we wash them? We may never know.
It says using a patented textile finishing treatment, the microcapsules bond to the fibers in the fabric strategically placed within the garments to align with muscle groups, the microcapsules gradually open over time as each layer meets with friction from your skin. So that definitely sounds like after a while it stops working.
Oh, yes. Look, it says here, after 40 uses, there's no more CBD effect. So $180 for 40 uses.
Okay.
CBD clothing is actually a thing. If you Google it, like a bunch of stuff comes up. I think it's wild. I love CBD.
I do too.
I just don't believe in CBD leggings.
I don't think it should go.
I mean, I have CBD lotion.
Yeah.
I love it. Works wonders.
Great.
It's a total gem of a lotion.
Because guess what? You don't put the lotion is meant to go on your skin with the knowledge that it will go in, and then you're not expecting it to last for 40 washes.
So stupid. It's like, remember those bracelets people were wearing in the early 2000s that were supposed to help you with your balance?
Yes.
There's like a magnet inside of it.
The magnet will align with your chakras and blah, blah, blah. No, it won't. You still have no balance.
I can't. Oh, God. It's so funny. Okay. My next really crazy thing that people are doing. Have you heard of ear seeds?
Like ear as in like ear, nose, throat, ear?
Ear. Yeah. Like
seeds.
The hearing vestibules on the side of your head.
No, I've not heard of ear seeds.
So ear seeds are... It's kind of like acupuncture on the go, okay?
Okay.
It's like acupuncture without needles. So it could be a seed. Chinese medicine would traditionally use a ripe seed from the Vicaria plant.
Okay.
But a more modern take on it is just like kind of a really tiny stick-on earring.
I have seen these.
And you put them in certain places on your ear. And this is what people think that they do. They say it reduces anxiety, insomnia, chronic pain, nausea, vomiting, substance abuse, gynecological and digestive disorders. And this is all from a doctor at the Cleveland Clinic, Center for Integrative Medicine.
So I used to get acupuncture fairly regularly.
Yeah.
And my acupuncturist would give me some of these. Like she would place them.
Yeah.
And then she would say, like, if you're feeling, you know, depending on where it was.
Yeah.
She'd be like, if, you know, you're feeling anxious, press on this one, or pain, or wherever it was placed. That was the one. I remember liking them.
They were just glued on?
Yeah, they like, it's like a strong adhesive that they have, and then they sit on your ear, and then they're just out of the skin enough that if you press on them, it sort of presses into the same acupressure point as acupuncture would.
Yeah, but with no needles. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the one thing on my list today that I'm interested in trying.
Totally.
I'm like, you know, some of these companies, they're selling tiny little gold ones, and they're actually really quite pretty.
Quite darling. Yeah, acupuncture, I fully believe in.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
I've never tried it, but I do believe in it.
Love it.
You know, my old au pair, Hella, she's...
Every time you say au pair, I know it's a normal part of your life, but I just picture you sitting in a full tulle skirt with like little princess shoes kicking your feet.
Like the Eloise of New Jersey.
Yeah, totally.
No, she's a nurse in Denmark, mm-hmm. and part of a regular nurse practice is learning things like acupuncture.
Yeah.
For helping people.
Totally. I don't know how, but I know it does work.
It does, yeah. I would like to go. I would like to, I don't know.
Love it.
I want to just sit there and be like, I don't know, target all my problems.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of problems do I have that they could target? I don't know, laziness, being late.
Donating too much money to charity.
Donating too much money to charity. Okay, next on my list, vagina steaming.
Oh, gosh. I remember hearing about this. Is it as dumb as it sounds?
Oh, yeah, sure thing. I mean, I like my vag like I like my broccoli. Blanched. Okay. Vagina steaming got really popular when Gwyneth Paltrow put it on her website, Goop.
Of course she did.
And then she posted a picture of herself on her Instagram. She was at some sort of spa sitting on what looked like a throne. And she had like a face mask on. And basically the throne had a hole in it. So she was, you know, no undies.
Yeah.
And the steam came up through the hole and went into her vagina and cleansed her of her impurities.
Again.
Yeah.
What impurities?
I know.
Can you name them? And are they supposed to come out through your vaginal pores?
So this is what really boggles my mind, because when people go to these spas or they try to do vag steaming at home, sometimes they put herbs in the water like oregano and basil. And I'm like, that's for spaghetti. That's not for your vagina.
No, I don't want to go home smelling like a delicious marinara.
No, and then other herbs like mugwort and wormwood, which actually sound like fake Harry Potter herbs. I don't get it.
Deadly nightshade.
Okay, this is what people who are into vag steaming, vagina steaming, this is what they believe it does. They believe that it relieves stress, depression, hemorrhoids, infections, infertility, hormonal imbalances, headaches, fatigue, digestive issues, and generalized pain.
Here's what I think.
Yeah.
I think if you have, for example, anxiety,
yeah,
and you go to a spa,
yeah,
and you're afforded the time to just sit,
yeah,
and be pampered, your anxiety is going to go down.
Yeah.
Not because you got your vagina blown into, but because you had time to be away from the stresses of life.
Yeah.
I also think that having your stress reduced can get its fingers into a lot of other parts of your life.
Oh, Bethany, you're so smart.
So I think that vagina steaming, and again, I'm no doctor, but I feel like it's not going to help clear your skin.
Yeah.
Did they say fertility was one of the things?
Yeah, they said if you have fertility problems.
What do they think it's going to do for fertility? Wake up. Your eggs were just sleeping?
Bethany.
Your husband's, your partner's, the sperm donor's sperm? What if it's their problem? What's the sperm's problem?
I guess it's a flushing technique. I don't know. You know what? Maybe vagina steaming is the same way. It works the same way as steaming your face. Your pores open up.
Uh-huh. And then what?
And then your eggs fall out of your vagina.
Just fall out.
I don't know. Listen, I know this may come as a shocker, but no studies have shown conclusive evidence that there are benefits to vaginal steaming.
Vagina steaming increased my credit score by 35 points.
Bethany, also, that's a very sensitive area down there.
Don't be steaming it. Also, yeah. Then dum-dums are going to take their clothes steamer, which gets so hot.
Oh, God, so hot.
And all of a sudden, you've scalded the very sensitive tissue around your vagina.
And listen, GoodRx, they basically said, this is a no-go because it's a common misconception that you need extra cleaning in your vajay. You don't need to douche. You don't need to steam.
No.
Your vagina, much like the ocean, is a self-cleaning organism.
Yep. It handles itself.
Yes.
Don't get all up in the flora of your fauna.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Leave it alone.
Leave your pH balance alone.
Leave it alone. Don't put apple cider vinegar all up in there.
Okay. Oh, God, this next one is so gross. While we're talking about our lady parts, Bethany,
yeah,
have you ever heard of vabbing?
No. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead and guess.
I'm just picturing vaginas dabbing.
Yeah. No.
Wait.
Bethany, you're not wrong.
Oh, no.
Except it's not vaginas doing that dance from Fortnite.
That's what I'm picturing.
Or football guy or whatever, whoever made up dabbing. It is when, oh God, I don't even want to say it out loud.
You can do it.
It is when you wear your own vaginal secretions as perfume. Dab it. Vagina plus dabbing equals vabbing.
Vabbing. Okay, I don't want to shame the human body.
No. Yeah.
Vaginas are what they are and they smell how they smell.
Yeah.
And that's part of just being a human
who has
a vagina.
Of course.
But also, why? Why?
So the idea behind this is if you're on the market for a lover, your pheromones, if you do some vabbing, you know, the secretions in the places where you typically wear perfume, on your wrists, behind your ears, you know, on your clavicle, places in your body where they heat up, they become more, you know, I don't know, they have an easier path to airways of potential partners vis-a-vis, you know, these places where you would typically dab perfume.
Yeah.
It's the pheromones. It's the pheromones find airways to the noses of potential partners.
The pH levels of your vaginal secretions,
yeah,
in theory and in a perfect world, are balanced.
Sure.
But If they are not, that can cause the bad bacteria to outnumber the good bacteria. And if that happens, this you should be alerted to the fact that there is a problem by the smell.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have an if you have vaginitis and you do some vabbing, like you might be walking down the street smelling like a salmon burger.
Right, exactly. So like you better know that your pH levels are good before you just decide that this is a great idea.
I think it's so disgusting. Okay, I believe that some research, and like don't quote me on this, is very loosely I read about this. I believe that some research has been done on using animal pheromones in this way, but no research has been done with humans. And the good news is that you, if you have chlamydia and then you decide, you unknowingly have chlamydia and then you decide to vab, it's not going to harm your skin.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. So Gabrielle Castle, she is a writer from wellandgood.com. She tried this for a week and she swears that she had more interaction in a typical week than when she wasn't vabbing. She said people stopped and asked her for directions. Directions. Someone on the subway offered her a piece of gum. A cute barista gave her her number, and her crush gave her a really cute nickname.
Does she say what the nickname was?
Yeah, it was Muscles.
Okay. Because she smelled like fish?
No, Bethany, because she had a healthy pH balance and then she was dabbing her her vaginal pheromones, you know, in her perfume places.
I think, look, maybe it works. I feel like pheromones are a thing in that we give them off whether we're vabbing or not.
Yeah.
However, it's also possible that like she was doing this new thing and it made her feel super confident or excited. And so she was giving off a different energy.
Yeah.
Look, you do what you want to do. Uh-huh. I'm not going to shame anyone, but I just feel, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Kathleen, you know what? I don't know.
I know. Bethany, I don't know. She does talk about the confidence thing in the article. I'll include it in our show notes. And Bethany, last but not least, I'm going to include the most dangerous one. And I can't imagine anybody would ever be, look at this and be like, yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay.
Much like popcorn ceilings.
Yeah.
Textured ceilings.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you know. Okay.
Yeah.
That joke kind of fell a little
flat. No, I was just thinking I have some textured ceiling material at my home that I had to take out from under my sink because the sink exploded.
Oh my God.
And now it's sitting on my counter next to my Soda Stream. And then I started thinking about my Soda Stream. I'm sorry. I missed your joke because I just got off on a whole thought train.
It's okay. I'll workshop it a little more. Methylene blue. Okay. Instagrammers, specifically Instagram influencers, have been promoting a supplement that turns your tongue blue.
Okay.
Companies sell it as a small lozenge that dissolves between the cheek and the gum over a period of 30 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
These are the ingredients of this lozenge. Methylene blue, caffeine, CBD, and nicotine. Okay.
You had me for the CBD and the caffeine.
Yeah, but then the
nicotine. You lost me at the nicotine.
Okay, do you know what methylene blue is?
No.
Okay, I'm about to open up your world. Basically, it's like a biohacker lozenge. It says that it might give you better memory, mood enhancement, neuroprotection. I don't know what that means.
What are my neurons not being protected from without it?
Okay. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, huh, methylene blue, that sounds a little bit familiar. Yeah, it might sound familiar to you if you had a fish tank growing up, or maybe you have one right now, because it is the main ingredient used to disinfect fish tanks, make them antifungal and antiparasitic. It's a treatment given to clean to fish tanks.
No wonder why those fish's memories were so good.
Yeah, 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 I know. Don't do this. Also, listen, don't do perineum sunning.
Oh, you'll burn your perineum ASAP.
You know there are people who believe that when you open up your legs and point your butthole to the sky for 30 seconds, it'll help your wellness?
In what way? You get a sunburn so fast down there, that skin is baby skin.
They take off their pants and they open their butt cheeks.
Oh, I've seen the pictures.
It's insane.
They get, Kathleen, the reports of sunburns... It's like an instant Darwinian result.
It's only supposed to be 30 seconds, but, you know, people take it too far.
It's not supposed to be anything. Don't do it. Because even if you think that you're completely alone and no one can see you, someone can see you, and now you're that guy or that lady or that non-binary. You are that
person. And you know what? If you open your legs and fart at the sky, like, I feel like that's a bad omen. Like, that's just not good karma.
The sun doesn't want to see it.
I can't.
Because we're not supposed to look directly at the sun, but the sun isn't supposed to look directly at that. Kathleen, so you've probably heard about microdosing. I know you have.
Yes, everybody has. It's the buzzword that everyone's talking about.
But gentle listener, if you have not, just know that all sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. And that is why Kathleen and I are so excited to partner with Lumi.
Yes, because Lumi offers these real fruit gummies. They are delicious. They're infused with an entry-level dose of THC, perfectly balanced with therapeutic cannabinoids, that's CBD and CBG, so you can feel just the right amount of good.
Microdosing THC is not like getting high. It's not, you're not going to look into the sky and see swirls of psychedelics. I don't know what getting high does. I'm not good at it. But when you microdose, you can enjoy a creative boost. You can help with sleep or pain. It helps you kind of settle into the moment. And the great thing about Lumi is that, like, I have their gummies.
Yeah.
It comes with a little pamphlet that tells you when you're first starting out, take one. Or if you're looking for this type of reaction, take two or take three when you're a little bit more, you know, used to how things go. But starting with one, it's like hand holding you into just having a nice feeling, but you're not high.
My friends have been microdosing for all sorts of reasons over the years, either for a creative boost or to sleep better. And they've been doing this thing where they take a really sharp knife and like cut off a tiny little piece of a THC gummy bear. And with Lumi, it takes all of the guesswork out of doing that because it's pre-portioned for you, and it's a specific strain of THC. Did you know that, Bethany?
I didn't know that.
And Lumi has these amazing flavors like orange cream cookies,
yeah,
and watermelon sorbet. Oh, so good.
And I've said on the show before, I can't get high. It doesn't interact with my body well. But
yeah,
microdosing with Lumi, I just took one gummy. I didn't have any interactions because it's such a small amount, but it did just kind of take the edge off of my day and it helped me sleep better.
And their THC is organic, U.S. grown from a small family farm. And I just think that that is the coolest thing ever.
Totally. Lumi's microdose is available nationwide.
To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and then use the code TASTE to get free shipping and 30% off of your first order.
Nice. Links can be found in our show description. But again, that is microdose.com/taste. All right. So Kathleen, we were driving and it said to get on to I don't know what expressway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a right, another right,
yeah,
another right,
uh-huh,
and then another right,
yeah,
and then go straight.
Uh-huh.
So go in a block around and then come back.
Yes.
Nothing ahead of us that was going to be a problem that we were trying to avoid.
So weird.
This was Waze.
Uh-huh.
I use Waze almost exclusively because it tells me what, you know, the different things are and everyone is contributing to it. And it makes me feel like I know what I'm doing.
See, I use Google Apps. I use Google Maps.
I use Waze.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
They're probably all the same.
Agree to disagree.
It's fine. This won't come between us and the podcast won't be ruined.
Okay, good.
So my theory is this.
Yes.
Some companies, I think like bigger companies, like companies that have franchises or have different, like a Dunkin', for example, Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh.
Pay Waze to reroute you to their area.
Oh my God.
Now, I have no evidence of this.
Yeah.
This is my conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
But when it is something where it is so clearly not a, we are rerouting you around bad traffic or an accident or construction, I think they are rerouting you just so you go by a particular company that has paid them money to do so.
Oh my God.
That's what I think.
First of all, this is genius. If Waze isn't already doing it, Bethany,
yeah.
I don't know how you would do it, but patent this idea right now.
I know, right?
No, like get in touch with a patent lawyer today, you know, because there's a week before this episode comes out. We're recording a little bit early.
Yeah, we have time.
You've got time before this idea is released to the airwaves.
Now, I know that companies can pay Waze to advertise, right? Like you stop at a stoplight,
mm-hmm,
and then an ad for a nearby, I'm just going to use Dunkin' again, Dunkin' Donuts will come up and be like, hey, have you had your Dunkin' today?
Yeah.
And then as soon as you start driving, it goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not unheard of that there is an interaction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there is something more nefarious happening than that. And I think that it has become very apparent, like I said earlier, now that we trust these apps to get us around, that we just are like, well, you're rerouting me for my own good, but really they're rerouting you to a company that has paid them to do so.
And especially with the price of gas these days.
I know, these days.
No one has any extra funds to go the long route and past a coffee shop. We have to go the most direct way.
And I just learned Google acquired Waze.
Oh, so
a long time ago.
Okay, so it probably is the same product.
And also, that makes me trust it even less because Google is hiding a lot of stuff.
You don't think Google is a good company?
I don't trust Google.
Okay.
I don't trust it. I don't trust it.
I mean, I inherently don't trust anybody because I'm from New Jersey, but I like kind of do trust Google. I don't know why, but I do.
So... And also, by the way, I have done no research into this. This is just my own conspiracy theory I just came up with. So it might be completely true, or people may be like, no, actually, this is what I think.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Okay, good. I love unresearched conspiracy theories.
Completely. Here is another conspiracy theory that I have.
Okay.
I think if you have dish soap in your kitchen and you also have hand soap in your kitchen, they are the same soap. And there is no need to have two different soaps.
I surprisingly think about this all the time.
Kathleen, what are your thoughts?
I think that they're the same base product. Mm-hmm. And maybe dish soap has slightly different agents to cut grease.
Sure.
But I really don't think that there is a need for two soaps.
At the end of the day... Mm-hmm. It's a solvent, right?
Yes.
So I have two beautiful soap dispensers from our sometimes partner Grove.
Yes.
And one has a beautiful little white like drawing of sparkly dishes on it.
Uh-huh.
And the other one has like a rosemary leaf, which apparently stands for hands.
Oh, okay.
So like those are the two.
Makes sense.
Sometimes
uh-huh.
if I'm running low on one, I'll put a different soap in that one, and now it's dish soap. Now it's hand soap. It's the same. Sometimes I put the same soap in both.
So my mom just got her kitchen redone.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they make these things now where you can get soap dispensers like built into your countertop.
Fun.
Where there's a little receptacle underneath the countertop. It screws in, and then there's the pump top right on top of the counter.
Love that.
I love the look because you don't have like a bottle of Dawn or Mrs. Meyer sitting there.
Yeah.
Cluttering your countertop. And she puts her dish soap in this pump thing.
Yeah.
And I was using it to wash my hands. And she's like, no, that's the dish soap. And I'm like, it's basically the same thing.
Same thing. It might be a little harder on your hands if it like cuts grease, but you're not a nurse who's washing her hands 17,000 times a day with that soap.
And
actually, nurses are probably using harsher soap than that.
Oh, much harsher. Yeah. And it's not like I'm touching skin-eating microbes every day. Like, get out of here. No.
It's soap. When I run out of shampoo, I use dish soap on my hair. Again, probably not great in the long run, but in the short run, it'll do the deed.
Yeah, you know, I do wash my face with Sensen Blue sometimes.
Sure.
Kill that fungus on my face.
When I was taking all of the things out from under my sink, I discovered a bottle of soap that I forgot I had. I had gotten it for free.
Yeah.
It was a giant black bottle because it was geared towards men. So, of course, they need things that look like car tires.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an industrial, it had a tread on it, and it said hand plus dish soap. And that proved to me two things.
Yes.
A, companies think men are idiots.
Yeah.
They're like, men won't know the difference and men can't be trusted to buy dish soap and hand soap. So we're going to put them together for these dumb men.
Okay. Well, maybe the joke's on us as ladies thinking that we need different soap for different things.
Thing.
Like men have all of these body washes that are body wash and shampoo in one.
Yep. Proves the point.
AKA they just have to buy one product.
Yep.
But we are women. So we need all of these different soaps.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm the person at home with like 75 different serums on my countertop in my bathroom.
The whole rigmarole every night. It's like a 15 to 20 minute process.
I know. Probably I could just have like one thing that did all of it and it would be the same effect, but you know.
Well, what these companies are unintentionally showing us, as well as companies that are like shampoo and conditioner in one or shampoo and body wash in one, are that it is all the same. You are not getting three things in one bottle. You are getting one thing in one bottle, and that thing is a soap.
I recently found out that a local market in the town where I grew up, which, you know, there's a lot of like old people who are Republicans.
Sure.
And I'm sure this soap company is targeting other small towns. When you walk into the market, there's a display of this like very generic soap with a label on it that is the American flag.
Oh my gosh.
And it literally looks like soap samples. I mean, a bottle of soap that they would hand out at like the GOP convention.
Totally.
Or
yeah.
Something.
This is American soap.
And I took a, and my mom was buying it. And I'm like, Mom, stop buying this fake Republican soap. And I look at it and it's not even freaking antibacterial.
You know what it is? Is it called put some dirt in, rub some dirt in it?
Something like
rub
that.
Rub some dirt in it.
I mean, it's just, it's glycerin with a tiny touch of, I don't know, lemon scent or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yes. It's, look, soap is soap. And yeah. if you want, if you need a specific, if you need hyaluronic acid in your lotion or something, that's one thing. But like, ultimately,
soap is soap.
You don't need to buy two separate kinds.
Just buy dish soap.
Just buy dish soap. Yeah. Now, again, uh-huh. have I researched this? No, these are my fun conspiracy theories that hurt no one. So I'm probably wrong, but that's fine.
Okay.
Here's another one that I'm definitely wrong about, but I love.
Oh, do tell.
So you know how the entire world uses the metric system except for us?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think,
uh-huh.
again, no evidence. Mm-hmm, don't mm-hmm. at me. Don't get mad at me. I think that there are two different reasons why the United States has not bought into the metric system, even okay. though the metric system makes much more sense.
Okay, tell me why.
One, and I think this is a very justifiable reason. It would cost so much money. Like textbooks would have to be rewritten and republished yeah. and like, you know, whatever. Other things that involve measurement mm-hmm. would have to be like signs and stuff would have to be redone. So that yeah. that's a legitimate reason.
Yeah.
I also think that big companies like Home Depot,
yeah.
Sears, Lowe's have a vested interest in selling two different types of like power tool attachments.
Oh.
So if you need to buy a metric system version or you buy like an American version.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
uh-huh.
do they make separate attachments for the metric system versus the American system?
I was just going to ask you.
I don't know. So let's look that up. Are there separate
I mean,
attachments for drills?
When you think about inches versus centimeters, you can get a much more accurate measurement with centimeters because
for sure.
there's more increments than there are in the inches.
It's small.
Yeah.
This is from toolcobber.com.au.
Oh, okay. So Australia?
Drill bits are the most common accessory for drills, mate.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say mate. I added that. There are many different drill bit types with each being designed for different blah, blah, blah.
All right. I mean, Bethany, listen, I'm not going to hold your feet to the fire mm-hmm. in terms of whether or not power drills and tools like that come with accoutrements that measure things in metric
yeah.
because I think power tools are power tools.
You know what? Again, these are fun for me to believe.
Okay.
I like believing that there's a conspiracy,
yeah.
but it doesn't hurt anyone. Okay.
Bethany, I think that you may need to drop this conspiracy because I found someone who is also in your bucket and is not somebody that you want to be associated
Uh-oh.
With.
Who is it?
Okay. Tucker Carlson.
No!
He also thinks that the metric system is a conspiracy theory. Wait, I shit you not.
What does he say?
Okay, this is from indie100.com. I have no idea whether or not if this site is legitimate. But Tucker Carlson, I think it was in 2019, did a segment where the artwork behind him says, metrics, no thanks.
So he's against the metric system.
He is against the metric
See,
system.
That's where we're different.
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
So he thinks that, he says, almost every nation on earth has fallen to tyranny, the metric system. I can't. Who makes this shit up? Who writes for him? Honest to goodness. From Beijing to Buenos Aires, from Lusaka, it's in Norway, Lusaka. Lusaka to London, the people in the world have been forced to measure their environment in millimeters and kilograms.
Why is he so upset about this?
Okay, the United States is the only major country that has resisted, but we have no reason to be ashamed for using feet and pounds.
It's just to be different.
Get to the part where there's a conspiracy. I don't understand.
I mean, I think that he believes that there's probably some conspiracy with Big Metric.
Big Metric.
Big Metric.
The lobbyist for Big Metric.
Kathleen, are there any conspiracy theories that you've either heard and think are kind of fun, or that you believe yourself, like that you've come up with and believe?
Well, it's not so much a conspiracy theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if there any research has really been done on it. But what is the term when the economy, when there's like inflation, and instead of changing the prices, products specifically like food products or, yeah, I don't know, body lotions, you know, body products, whatever, they put less in the container?
Yeah, totally.
What is the name of that?
Oh, I don't know.
Less food in chip bags because of inflation.
Or like if it's like a canister or something that has a divot in the bottom, like the divot will get deeper.
Yeah, yeah.
So it carves out more space.
It's called shrinkflation.
Ooh, yes, you're right. I've heard that term before.
And a lot of people used to think that it was a conspiracy theory, but it's not. It's like companies really do this.
It's a whole thing.
I know. And can you imagine you used to get 10 soup dumplings for $4.99, and then all of a sudden you open your package and you have 8 soup dumplings for $4.99.
That's insane.
Bullshit.
You know what? You've based your hunger and fullness on what you expect to get.
Yeah.
And then you don't get it. Now what are you supposed to do? Do you believe, Kathleen, that the more expensive, like premium gas is any different than the cheapo regular gas you're getting?
Oh,
because how would we know? It says it's going to make my engine drive longer, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea what gas does, except it makes my car go. And I don't know if you're putting things in it to like defrag my motor. Is it working better, or is it just more expensive of the same?
Okay. I don't know about gas, but I will tell you this. My favorite interior design podcast, Dear Alice, that I hate listen to.
Are they the ones who are so rich and judgy?
They're so rich and judgy.
Yeah.
Where like some people have, I guess they call it aroma kitchens, where those are the kitchens where they only cook things that are smelly.
That's right.
But it's not like the front-facing kitchen
of
where you have your guests, a spice kitchen or whatever you call it. They were recently talking about the type of carpets you should be putting in your media rooms.
Okay.
I know, Bethany, it's so stupid.
These ladies. Okay.
Oh, but there is a question. I'll get back to that. There's something from that podcast that reminded me of something that you said on the check-in.
Okay.
But they were talking about this brand of carpet, and they were like, well, we really shouldn't say this on the podcast. They're going to kill us, but we'll say it anyway. And it was this brand of carpet where they have like the higher end and the lower end. And basically, it was the same product, except the lower end had just less designs to choose from. And the price difference was like quite a lot.
Oh my gosh.
And so I think that there are like a lot of instances like that where companies like, you know, like gas, I don't think this is applicable to gas per se, but where companies offer a higher end and a lower end.
Yeah.
And the lower end is probably basically the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just with like slightly different, less color variations or something like that.
I mean, we see that with store brands of food, for example.
Yes.
A lot of times it is the same company that makes, you know, your highly expensive, you know, fruit rings cereal as makes our poor family version of like Fruit O's.
Yes.
It's the same cereal exactly.
And as we have learned from Tastebud Megan, the food scientist, the only difference that is usually required, like a generic brand versus a name brand, is like one slightly different ingredient or like different measurement of an ingredient.
Yeah.
So it's basically the same product.
The same product.
Yeah,
so like when we know, we can use
that
to our advantage and save some sweet, sweet money.
Yes, yes.
But if we don't know, you know, what are we supposed to do?
I'm trying to think of other funny conspiracy theories that have passed my mind
lately. An incredibly popular one is that the door open, door close buttons on elevators are for aesthetic purposes only.
Yeah, and that they don't work.
There, I have seen a video where someone just pulled it off. and there was nothing behind it. Also, the same theory about walk, don't walk.
Yes.
Like those buttons, they don't do anything. I truly believe that some of them do something, but in some areas, they are purely to keep people from rioting. So we feel like we have some control over the situation, even though we have no control over the situation.
Like
in a highly, in an area where traffic control and the timing of stoplights is important to prevent like traffic from getting super backed up. They're timed so that traffic flow is a certain way.
Yes.
Especially in big cities.
Yes.
At rush hour. I think personally that they disable the walk, don't walk button from actually working, because if it worked, it would throw off the timing of those lights.
No, it would.
Drastically.
Drastically. Yeah. So, okay. Neil is convinced that the door close button in the elevator in our building actually works, but it doesn't work anywhere else. I don't.
Why does he think that your elevator is special?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it does work quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And it is convenient.
Sure.
When you hear somebody coming into the lobby and you know they're going to get in the elevator and you're like, I don't want to see anybody.
Don't want to talk to you.
I don't want to see anybody.
Yeah.
It does work. It does work. But, you know, he thinks it's faster.
Now,
I don't know.
Here's a theory I have.
Yeah.
Again, I have no proof.
Uh-huh.
Fun for me. This one's for fun. I think that when elevators are installed, the building management can pay more to have those open close door buttons work. I think it's like a package you get. So you get your base level package.
Yeah.
You get all the floors work.
Uh-huh.
You get your second tier package, which comes with an extra fail-safe in case the elevator falls, speed style.
Okay.
And the open closed door buttons actually work. And I think your third package is something like, you know, you get mirrors in there.
Like when you get the internet package and they're like, but for $10 more, we can give you something faster.
Exactly. We can give you something even faster, even though we already told you what you were getting was the fastest.
Now, this comes from Reddit, Bethany. And I think this is so ridiculous.
Look, this is what's keeping us alive. We're in a dark time.
Somebody wrote a funny conspiracy is that John F. Kennedy was assassinated by Oral-B because he was sponsored by Colgate.
What? No, we all know that that CIA agent accidentally popped off a shot and they covered it up.
Future Bethany here. Everything I'm about to say in this conspiracy theory is incorrect. I couldn't even get the conspiracy theory right. Great job, Bethany.
That's right. So there wasn't anybody from an abandoned building with a shotgun looking down?
No, there was.
Okay, okay.
But the conspiracy theory is that Oswald, what was it, Lee Harvey Oswald, shot but missed.
Okay.
And then the CIA agent.
Secret Service agent.
Who was riding in the car in front of JFK.
Behind JFK.
Tried to shoot to protect JFK, but as he raised his gun, he accidentally fired and it hit JFK.
Okay.
But they made it seem like it was Lee Harvey Oswald because it was friendly fire.
Well, maybe the bullet. Like maybe gravity affected that bullet because the earth is flat.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Maybe that's it. La, 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 la. Did you know that the ballet, very famous ballet, Swan Lake, is not just named after swans because swans have beautiful, long, graceful necks?
Okay.
Do you know that swans actually dance with each other?
What?
Swans do something called a swan dance, and it's beautiful and graceful, and that is why the ballet is named Swan Lake.
I feel even more like an idiot than I already did.
So I think swans are one of those creatures where they can take a lover. You
know? They mate for life,
Yeah. So I was watching this thing on Instagram where a swan was sick or it needed, you know, some help. And it was taken from the lake where it resided. Oh. And when it was brought back, the partner was there waiting for, you know, for the missing swan. And then the person who's narrating it, or maybe there was a caption or something, the swans did a dance together.
Oh, my God.
It was beautiful, graceful, like, you know, doing circles around each other and their necks are moving all gracefully. And they were literally dancing.
Oh.
And it occurred to me, Swan Lake it's a dance, a ballet dance, because they dance.
They dance. I can't handle those animal videos.
I know.
Where it's like one animal has to go. And it's always, can we stop using the specific voiceover that's like, this one lost its mate but came back the next week. Can we as a community decide to use a different one? Are there different ones? So can you choose different voices?
Yeah, there's different voices on TikTok.
My dad came home from war, LOL, at his reaction to the paint job.
I think the voice that you're doing right now is named Jessica.
I hate Jessica. Because also, I tap on, I want to hear sound.
Yeah.
From the cute puppy making puppy noises.
Yeah.
And then I forget to turn the sound off, so I scroll to the next video. So it's gone from like, mew, 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 mew. My dad has OCD. Look at the way he cleans the counter. And it's like, it's always inappropriate too.
Yeah, yeah,
it's like, you know, I'm in a mental asylum because I've been self-harming. LOL at the clothes I'm wearing.
Yeah, or sometimes the cadence is wrong and it's, I'm in a mental asylum because I've been self-harming.
It's like, don't put them. I understand. We need accessibility.
Yeah.
And it's great to have something narrated. Is there a different voice?
There's a handful of different voices. I'm guilty. I'm putting my hands up. I have used Jessica in some of my videos. And Neil doesn't understand TikTok.
I
showed him this video of me like drawing strawberries. I was really pumped to show him.
Yeah.
And he's like, why do you sound like that? And I'm like, Neil, that's a TikTok voice.
I was trapped under my car for 17 hours. The look on the cop's face when he found me.
He was very surprised.
I hate it. I hate it so much. Because I don't do TikTok because it's just so, it's too much for me. I already have anxiety about social media in general. So I opt out. But I do see it on my Instagram and it's just too much. And I was scrolling through it just before this started and you were in the room and you started laughing because it was like, we're all going to die someday. LOL at the rates of death and recidivism in our private jails.
I love when the TikTok voice goes, ha 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 ha.
I hate it.
Ha 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 ha.
I hate it.
My life starts now. You do a much better impression of Jessica than I do.
This gender reveal party wildfire gave me all the feels.
Oh my God. Oh,
I'm such an old woman. I have been old. I was the old woman of my friends when I was 17.
Yeah, they used to call me grandma in college.
Totally
relate, yeah.
Like, it's just who I've always been.
Yeah.
It's just, before it was only evident when I went to a party and wanted to go home at 10.
Yeah.
Or I was at a sleepover and I wanted to sleep.
Yeah.
Now it's evident everywhere. Everything makes me sound like an old woman, including when I'm raging against Jessica.
Okay, so I have this list on my phone that I've been waiting to bring out, and I think now is the right time.
Okay.
And this list is things that old ladies love to talk about.
Oh.
So this is a manifesto for you and I of sorts to really lean into our elderly 30s
totally
personas.
Thank
okay?
you for being a friend.
Mm-hmm. Things that old ladies love to talk about. They love to talk about if their washing machine is big enough to wash their comforter.
Kathleen, Kathleen, I was just talking to my therapist before I came here about how my dream is to have a washer dryer where I can wash a blanket. I am this woman.
Yeah. I mean, because you know what? They bring the bigger ones down to the laundromat.
Yep, totally.
They like to talk about where they got a really good deal, specifically on bottles of wine that only cost $6, marked down from $8.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants that.
They love to talk about anything where the sentence starts, my friend from church. They love it. They love it. I'm telling you this, old ladies, once they qualify for Social Security, they love comparing how much they each got and like why one person makes more than another.
My friend from church just bought her own headstone. LOL at the engraving.
I literally listened to my mom and her friend Barbara. My mom's friend Barbara has been staying with her for a couple of days. They've been doing this thing where there's two recliners in the TV room and they decided to binge Downton Abbey from episode one.
From the Titanic sinking?
From episode one. And then they've been doing it for like a week. And then the finale is that they're going to go see the new movie.
What a fun thing for them to work towards.
I literally listened to them for, 20 minutes comparing their Social Security checks and figuring out why Barbara made more than my mom.
Barbara, that bitch.
I know. It turns out that she started like a month earlier or something.
Wow.
When the laws were a little different. I don't know. And also old ladies love to talk about how surprised they were at how much fun they had at bingo. Well, I was so surprised. It was so much fun.
You know what? Bingo never seems like it's going to be a good time, and it always ends up being a really good time. Kathleen, is that what you learned this week?
No, Bethany. I learned this week that puppy pile,
yeah,
which is a term that you used on the check-in.
Yeah.
You used it in terms of an orgy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a sex term I've never heard before. Yeah. A puppy pile.
Yeah.
Turns out, Bethany, it's not a sex term.
What is it?
It's just a term for people just falling all over each other.
Oh, I learned it from the show Veep. Because Veep's daughter, I don't remember her name, she and her girlfriend were thinking of having a baby. And yeah. So they talked to the hot guy about maybe him donating sperm. And then he was like, well, why don't we just do it the natural way? We just get into a puppy pile, see what happens.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe it is a sex term. Well, I'm telling you why I thought it wasn't. I was listening to this very rated G podcast about beanbag chairs in media rooms.
What do you listen to?
And it was like, yeah, we really love sex because then the kids can all puppy pile on there. And I'm like, wait a second. Are these little kids having sex? Like, this is inappropriate. And then I was like, oh, puppy pile maybe isn't a sex term, but like maybe the person in that podcast actually used it incorrectly.
I think they used it incorrectly on Veep.
Oh.
Well, okay. So it depends. It can be sexual, usually not, but usually doesn't involve sex. Oh. So there's an article from postbulletin.com from motorcycle hold to puppy pile. It's about men cuddling without it being a sexual thing.
Oh, okay.
Men lay with their heads in each other's laps, chat and joke. It's meant to be a space where men feel safe sharing their innermost thoughts.
Oh.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
It might not be sexual at all. It might be. I guess it depends on what you're into.
Oh, well then I like puppy piles.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah. Okay, Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that apparently Freddie Mercury had 4 extra teeth in his upper jaw. That's why his teeth were so prominent.
Oh.
I didn't realize that.
Did he not get his wisdom teeth removed? Or is he like me with that extra bone in his ankle?
I think it's just extra.
Weird.
So because of that, his front teeth got pushed forward, which is why he had such a prominent overbite.
Yeah.
But he didn't ever get them taken out because he was afraid that it would change how he sang.
Yeah.
And he had such an incredible voice and such a crazy vocal range. He was afraid that taking them out would like cause some sort of change in like vibration of his mouth or whatever, that it would ruin his voice. So he never got him taken out.
You know what? I'm looking at pictures of him now, and it's really weird that when his mouth is open, like you never see the part where the teeth stop. They just keep going.
Yeah, they just keep going. All the way back.
I'm always weirded out, like watching orthodontia videos.
Why do you watch them?
On YouTube.
What are you doing?
I think that they're coming, much like chiropractor videos. And sometimes the orthodontist will pull out a tooth if the mouth is too small. And then that person just doesn't have that set of teeth like on either side of their mouth.
Yeah.
Forever.
Sure.
And they just live without two teeth.
Yeah. Your mouth can't fit them. Mouth's too small.
My orthodontist gave me a little bit of a complex. My vampire teeth, what are they called?
Eye teeth?
My eye teeth?
Yeah.
My orthodontist was like, wow, they're really quite small.
Show me.
Okay, okay.
Which ones are they?
They're the fang teeth, or not the fang teeth.
Yeah.
The ones next to my two front teeth.
They are small.
Uh-huh.
I thought that, no, they're the ones to the, they're the ones two in.
The only small thing on my body.
Wait,
what's
aren't these supposed to be middle tooth, like front tooth, one more, and then your eye teeth?
What is the tooth next to the front tooth called?
I don't think it's that tooth.
My canines. My canines are real small.
Wait, are canines supposed to be right next to your front teeth?
Yeah, canines are next to your front teeth.
Oh, mine are two in.
Yeah, hang on, I'm going to look at the lateral incisor. Lateral incisor.
So...
Yes, you're,
that's Bethany, your canine?
Bethany's sitting here with her finger in her mouth. No, you're right. The canine is two in.
Uh-huh.
My lateral incisors.
Incisor.
They're they're small. They're premature, maybe. Like,
so the tooth next to your middle tooth, or your front tooth.
And now I can't stop thinking about how my lateral incisors are too small.
Move your head away from your microphone. They're tiny.
Right?
But I've never noticed it before. And so I don't think you notice it until you notice it. Sort of like how Bradley Cooper's face is on Sideways. You don't notice it until you notice it.
What?
Bradley Cooper's face is on Sideways. Like his, it's like at a slant.
Billy on the Street, what's his name?
Billy Eichner.
Yeah. He's got a lazy eye.
And
you
does
don't,
he?
You don't notice it until you notice it.
I have a lazy eye.
Yeah.
Strabismus.
Oh, why did you tell me I wasn't going to notice it until I noticed it?
Oh, I have a lazy eye all over the place.
Bethany, where can people find you and your lazy eye on social media?
You can see it best on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. I tend to tag strabismus when I take a selfie. You can find me on Twitter at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our podcast on social media on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can also find us on Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
Yes. Where else are we? We have an email address, and that's hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
You can also send us physical mail at Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Twice a month, we do live shows on Patreon and study group and book club, which we just had the best book club this past Sunday night. It was so fun. And here are our dates for upcoming shows. We have a live show on June 29th. We have Study Buds on July 6th. We have a live show on July 12th.
Yes.
So, and there are more dates than that available for you to check out, but those are just the upcoming ones.
Yes. Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media, Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
Oh, and the check-in. You have to talk about the spinoff podcast, which is on our feeds.
Yes.
You don't have to go anywhere else to listen to it.
Yes.
The check-in.
Yeah, the check-in is Dennis and myself. We are talking about our relationship because we always work together, but also we're dating. We have a new bit called In the Field, where sometimes we will record each other. Last time he recorded me when I had an awful case of the hiccups, and he helped me work through them. So it's a very fun podcast. And yes, it's already on your Acquired Taste feed. It comes out every other Friday.
All right. I think that's it. Do your thing.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, this is Vanessa from Wisconsin. This message is for Dennis. I just listened to the recent check-in, and he was talking about, I check my bank account, and I'm just like, eh. Well, Dennis, congratulations. You mastered It Is What It Is, and it's going to be okay. And I'm very proud of you. And I love you, Bethany and Kathleen. Thank you. And to the Acquired Taste group for just being there for me through everything. Because, oh my God.
Hi, it's Caitlin again. Hello. I just want to let Bethany and Kathleen know that I am heavily promoting this podcast everywhere I go. Especially last night at Olive Garden. I went after therapy at Olive Garden because, you know, we've been salad. But I digress. I was listening to you as well in the Olive Garden one week up and was like, what is that? Like, what are you listening to? And I told her, and she's like, what's it about? And I blurted it out. I was like, oh, they did the History of Pumpkin Spice Latte once. And she was like, oh, I'm in. So she, like, actually wrote it down on her thing. Maybe she's trying to get more tips, but, like, here's a tip in a Acquired Taste podcast. So, Betty, if you're listening and you were at the Olive Garden on Wednesday night in Eatontown, New Jersey, welcome to the pod, girlfriend. Live, laugh, love. I don't know. Drink water. Bye. Love you. Bye.
Hi. My name is Melissa. I'm a longtime podcast listener, a first-time caller. I was calling because you mentioned Jersey Girl, and I thought it was really exciting when I was a kid because they filmed the scene in the diner at my local diner down the street from my parents' house, and I actually got to see all the actors, and it was a big hubbub, and it was so exciting. But I'm having a rough go. My dad passed away last week. And I just don't know how to talk to anyone, you know? And I just feel completely lost and disassociating from just everything and everyone. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know how to speak or see any of my friends. I just feel very lost. But you girls make me really happy and keep me a little bit grounded, I guess, and bring a smile on my face. So thanks for that. Okay, bye.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. I'm listening to Kathleen's section about deadly animals. And I just had a fun fact that I wanted to share. I can't quote a source, although I feel pretty confident I learned it during some sort of bar trivia. They're not dangerous animals, but deer cause more deaths in the United States every year than any other animal because of car accidents. So I don't know if they're technically the deadliest animal in the United States, but they definitely cause the most deaths. Anyway, I love you guys. Have a good weekend.
Hi, my beautiful buds. It's Tia from North Idaho. I just was listening to the episode where you guys are talking about shows that are canceled too early. And one of my favorite shows that was canceled that I really, really wish they would bring back was called Pushing Daisies. I remember the guy, his name was Lee Pace, and then I'm drawing a blank on the actress that was in it, but it was the most adorable, like, quirky little show. The artistry in it was so beautiful. There was like a pie shop, and so the guy had, if he touched a dead person, the person would come back to life, but then if he touched them again, then they would be dead forever. They go back to being dead. And he fell in love with a girl, and he touched her, and then now he can't touch her again because otherwise she will die. And there's some quirky ants that are like mermaids. I really wish that show would come back. It was canceled when that big writer strike happened many years ago. And anyways, that's just one of my absolute favorites. So I just thought I had to stop and call in and say that I loved it and I missed it. I wish it would come back. So anyway, I hope everyone's doing great. Talk to you later.